today is 3 years without missing a show.
Really?
This is it. Exactly 3 years. I don't know what's the date, but 156 shows.
Wow. That's impressive.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Wow. I'm always proud of me, so it's that's cool. I'm proud of you, I want to say that with actual, hey, good for you, not surprise. Like, hey, I can't believe you did it. Normally, you're such a complete letdown.
That's not what you meant.
That is mostly, most of the compliments I give in life, that is what I mean.
Right.
You're just such a colossal mess. You are hot garbage, my friend.
But this time you persevered.
I think this just fell into your lap. and then I tell, no, come on, it's a compliment. Come on, cool out.
Right.
Put the gun down. That's where we go. So 3 years. All right, let's do it.
All right.
Hello and welcome to episode 156 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC.
I think I bumped the mic on when I said that. Did you hear something?
No.
You don't even hear that mic anyway. What am I asking? How you doing, Adam?
Doing great, Al. How about yourself?
On the post... Doing good. Post-Christmas hangover, or is everything good?
No, it's all good.
Yeah, I didn't go hog wild either. So there's that, so...
Great.
Great story.
Did you get any? Did you get any photography related Christmas swag?
No.
Okay, then we don't. We don't need to hear about it then.
I got a, and I'll say this. I'll tell the story because my father-in-law isn't listening.
Great,
because he doesn't speak English, so he doesn't. Not that he listened to the show, anyways.
Okay,
but
they're not translating our show in German.
I think Google just does it automatically, don't they?
I don't know.
They could. So, I got whiskey. Well, not whiskey glasses. He thought they were whiskey glasses. They're basically rocks glasses, which are good. I don't have rocks glasses here.
I don't know what that is.
Like cocktail glasses, like for like Ryan Coke or something.
Okay.
Like just the short glasses.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, because you put ice in them, hence you need rocks glasses.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I gotcha.
But he thought I was drinking. He thought he was buying me like a proper whiskey glass. But so, anyways, that doesn't matter. They're all the same, and I'm not the king of England, so I drink it out of whatever. I drink it out of my shoe. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And so, anyways, so I open them up, and I'm like, there's three rocks glasses, which I thought was an odd number.
Yes.
And so I'm like, I can't figure this out. Like, this is baffling me. And they also bought me some rye for Christmas as well, because it was on sale here. It's a specialty item, like, hey, holy smokes, we got in some Canadian whiskey. And so they bought that, and which is very good. I enjoy it. Thank you. However, on Christmas, you know, after all the presents are open and stuff like that, you know, he says, hey, do you want something to drink? And I said, yeah, sure. Let's have some rye. You know, I just got some. Let's open it. But he'd bought one for himself, so he insisted on drinking his. And he goes to the cupboard and pulls out his rocks glasses. He has three identical rocks glasses to me.
Right.
So he bought the set of six and just kept three of them.
Oh, it didn't come in a box of three.
Oh, it came in a box of six, but there was three missing.
Right.
When I opened my box of six, there was only three in there and three empty holes.
Right.
So, which I did not care. I was happy. I'm not grinching this one. I just couldn't. I was baffled. But so why three, two, four, one? I'm good with any combination except for three.
Right.
So Rain Man that I am, I didn't sleep that night.
Oh, I was just thinking maybe he thought Sam wasn't ready for whiskey yet. So.
Well, Emily's more into martinis.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. Anyway, so that's what I got. That was the sum total and a walk. I got a walk.
Nice.
My wife and I got for Christmas a really nice one. So that was it. No photo equipment at all whatsoever.
Wow.
You?
I got my lens mug.
Oh, you got the lens mug. Which one did you get?
I got the 70-200 2.8 Canon. So because I'll never own it in reality.
Is it an IS?
Yep, and it's got all the switches on it. Thing is awesome. I've been drinking coffee out of it like crazy. This is my
Do the switches move?
Oh yeah, yeah. Switches move.
Get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. It's stellar.
Wow, yeah. That is pretty cool.
Yeah. So that was my. I think that's the only photography related present. Yep, it is. That's it.
And is the lid a lens cap?
Yes, absolutely. And everything and even the box, you know, says Canon camera, and it's all done in the same way as the Canon camera box is. So no, it's pretty cool. My wife got it on Amazon, I believe.
Nice. Yeah. And okay, but now does it have a lens hood?
It does not have a hood. It does not have a
hood. Oh man, they should, and you should put it on backwards all the time. That would be awesome.
It does, absolutely. With the lens cap on from 3 feet away, nobody would know.
No, absolutely. What, you know what you should do? You know what I would do if I had one? Is I would just walk around Steveston on a busy day with just that lens, nothing attached to it, and just looking through it, pointing it at people and just yelling, click!
Well, I was just thinking I should walk near photographers and just fumble it. Just fumble it on the concrete. and then just lose it. Like just lose it. And blame other people. Blame other people for it.
I'm gonna go ahead and say there's probably 6,000 YouTube videos of that already.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yeah. I bet you there is.
Yeah. Like just like, you know, like how in your crowded space, like just bump shoulders with somebody, then drop it, yeah, and then just yell at them.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Not fun for them.
No. So,
there you go. Great. Amazon, where you just bought the that thing there. People are buying stuff.
Yeah. Do you notice how I sort of, you know, worked that in
there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yours was more subtle than mine. Yeah. I just checked the other day because I forget. I don't know why I accidentally checked. I don't normally check. Stuff just happens. Stuff just happens behind my back. It's like gaining weight. I just eat and the weight gain takes care of itself.
Right.
But I happened to see on there when I scrolled past, you know, what people are buying. You can see what people buy.
Okay.
And you can't tell who bought what. But somebody bought a book. And now if anyone's listening and bought that book, please email us. I want to know how the book is because I almost bought it myself. It's the one, oh, I can't think of the name of it now. It's the girl from Afghanistan, Pakistan. Her name is Malala. And she, the one who was the girl who was shot by the Taliban, mm-hmm, for wanting to go to school and all that. So somebody bought that book and I wanted to get that book myself. And I'm just curious, I'm going to get it anyways. So, but love to hear your thoughts on the book, whoever bought that book.
Okay.
Through our site, because I'm really interested in that one. Yeah. So there you go.
Bookreviews.com.
Book reviews. Well, you can send us an email if you don't want to announce online for whatever reason. Although I don't know why you wouldn't, but... send us an email. I'd want to hear about it. So, Christmas photos.
Yes.
Did you take any?
I did. I didn't take very many. I think this might have been one of those things that I sort of said to the audience and to myself maybe last year, was didn't want to spoil too much of the fun of enjoying it, so didn't take a lot of photos. But I don't know, probably took maybe 25, if that...
How did that make you feel internally? Because I'm going to go ahead and say I did the same thing this year.
Yeah, I think there was a at the very beginning kind of a internal struggle that, you know, always goes on when you're making that decision of, I think I could capture some great photos, but I don't want to dampen the mood, or I don't want to make it about the photos rather than just about enjoying family fun. So Yes. There is that internal struggle, but once you make your mind up and you put the camera away, that all goes away and you just enjoy it. So I think it's more of the lead up to, oh, I might be missing something incredible that I have for eternity versus once it goes away, you can decide that, oh no, I wouldn't have got that anyways.
Well, I think we're living in an age where if there's no photo of it, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Seems a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and so that was, I had the exact same inner struggle as you did. I brought a camera along and I shot a little bit of video I wanted to get because I like that part. But other than that, I think all in all, because we had Christmas Eve, which is European, and Christmas Day, the Canadian part. So we did two Christmases, essentially, because, you know, you can't spoil your kids enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Christmas morning was just the four of us. I think I took 10 photos.
Wow.
And then probably more, probably like 30 the night before.
Right.
But there was a ton of family and there was some singing and whatnot and stuff like that. But overall, I just didn't take anywhere near. And for the exact same reasons you did, I just thought about it and thought, you know, do I need to document every second?
No.
Because there'll be Christmas next year.
Yes, there will be.
Yeah. That's great advice from a photo show. Put your camera away.
Yeah. The way I kind of looked at it was, you know, the one real present that my kids wanted, whatever that one thing is, I think everyone can sort of relate to, there's one thing and then anything else they get is great. It's a bonus. But the one thing that they had really been asking Santa about, writing their little letters to Santa, all those things, that's the picture that I wanted, just so that, you know, years from now when they look back, it's like, oh yeah, you know, that was the year that I got whatever the thing was, right? And that's mm-hmm. really the only picture I needed. And then, you know, we had already done a family photo in the mall with Santa, so it, you know, if I scoop up another couple of pictures, then it's just a bonus.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. That's, yeah, looking back, that's exactly how I felt without knowing it. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas. What, you shot a wedding a couple weeks ago.
I did, yes.
That you told us, and I wanted to hear a little bit about that. We can show some photos, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I put some photos into the Dropbox. Are you looking at them right now?
I can. Oh. I'm one click away.
Okay, because I didn't know if I was supposed to talk about them specifically, but I'll open up the pictures that I put in there. Basically, this was my first ever wedding. I think I mentioned that, and this was from the bride that I know. And so she asked me if I would do it, and I said okay, you know, with a little bit of hesitation. But you know, she promised that she was gonna be no bridezilla, and just, you know, whatever I wanted to do is fine. She sort of gave me an outline of how the day's events were going to go, and I even had her make a little list of the shots that she wanted, like if there was anything very specific that she wanted. And really, she gave me a list of just kind of some of the group combinations that she wanted, some of her family, some with her kids, blah blah blah.
How long was the list?
Not very long. It was maybe...
That's important.
Yeah, it was maybe 10 photos long. That was the how long.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So it was just... And it was all about groupings. There was nothing specific that she said, oh, I want to, you know, be doing this, or I want to be walking in a garden, or I want to be, you know, jumping off of a rooftop. There was nothing like that. It was just it was just some grouping combinations that she wanted, I guess, to give to family, right? So right. So she sort of gave me a layout, and I showed up to the venue. I wanted to be there first. I wanted to check things out, but I also wanted to get her driving up, like when she pulled up to the venue. So I wanted to get a few shots of that. And then I basically, cause I didn't, she had small window of time for photography because she wanted to get back. They were having sort of an after party at their place of residence, and they basically weren't allowing for a ton of time. It didn't want to leave her guests hanging for more than, I think, half an hour, 45 minutes, after the ceremony was done and before the reception started. So,
and plus this is late November, early December.
Yes, this is, I guess it was early December, yeah.
So you got like 40 minutes of daylight to shoot in anyway.
Yeah, so, and we did this, like, this was right in the middle of the day. I think it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the wedding. So anyway, so basically how it went was I showed up, I grabbed a couple photos as she stepped out of the car, and then we went into the church, and in the back of the church, there's kind of like the holding area, I guess, you know, the secret back area. So we took she was there with the family member. So I did I shot her side of the family, pictures just in the back room. It was kind of like, I guess, you know, like hardwood floors and just pretty plain. And so I did some family photos in the back. I think I included one of the photos of her shot from above, just using the flooring as the background. I included that in the folder. So that was kind of just like a classic photo that you see everywhere of the bride holding the flowers. And so I wanted, that was one that I wanted to have. So My wife was at the wedding, and I used her as a helper, as the voice-activated light stand. So I lit some photos with my wife holding the cue box, the light portable softbox that I keep raving about. So there's that photo. And then I did some family photos that I didn't include, just because I didn't have permission of everybody in the wedding, and I didn't want to, you know, put a whole bunch of other people up on the web. So I included some photos I took of her getting out of the car, and I think those were some of my favorite photos. They had sort of a cool 1970s Chevy Nova, I think is what it is, car. Yeah. And so after the wedding, in my mind, these weren't her arriving, these were actually her leaving. Because she arrived in just a very ordinary SUV, and I got a couple of candid shots in that, but they're nowhere near as good as the ones with the old car. So we kind of made this photo like she's getting out of the car, but really they were getting into the car and then leaving. And took one of her, and again, these are lit by Bear Flash, and actually two Bear Flashes in high speed sync. To get enough light in the midday. There's a ton of sun, so I was trying to overpower some sun here. And so anyways, I did a couple sequence with her husband kind of helping her out of the car, and then her just getting out of the car. And then I think in the other shot list that I included, there's a shot from the church. So do you have any specific questions?
No, I like the car ones, especially because for the most part, you can tell what time of year this is.
Right.
Besides the fact that she's wearing, you know, a strapless dress, and that's pretty cold.
And it's minus six.
Yes, that's the thing, is you can tell, like, the shadows and the car itself all have a cool look to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you didn't overcompensate. Like, you look at the white picket fence that's in the sunshine, it's proper white.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the cool tones in the shade. That's a great mix. Now, the instinct is probably to correct for that and make it all warm and, you know, warm colored. But that's not reality. That's like it didn't happen in the summer.
Yeah.
I
quite like the color that comes off the car. And I think you notice it most in the one that's just the picture of the bride more up close. And you see kind of like, again, the bluey tinge that comes off of the car.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I quite like that. Yeah,
and her face is closer to being correct, and you know, and you could probably even tone it up now that you have your color correction hardware. You could probably tone her face up to be a little bit warmer and still keep those cool blue tones.
Yeah, and I did. I kind of did play with it a little bit.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So good experience shooting the wedding.
Good experience. The church itself was super dark, so I wouldn't suggest anybody. Try to shoot photos of a wedding inside of a church or a dark church without a full frame sensor. I wouldn't suggest it unless your camera is fantastic in terms of high ISO. It's like I needed every bit of what that Canon 6D could do.
Sure, and you shot with all, you know, really cheap prime zoom lenses.
Yeah, I shot everything with the 70-200L. Which again is why I needed that high ISO, because at the F4 I couldn't get nearly enough light in for that lens. So I guess I could have run around everywhere with the 85mm or with the 50mm, but it would have made my armpits a lot sweatier.
What in that situation, what I go with is I go with two camera bodies, which you do have.
I did, and I considered it. I did consider it.
And I go dual prime. I go with the 50mm on the full frame and the 85mm on the crop sensor. Otherwise, if you go the other way with them, those lenses, you basically have the same the same field of view on both. Now you'll have one wide, one essentially somewhat telephoto, and you can cover everything you want. Now, the zoom lens is nice.
And I'll tell you, they did have another friend who's kind of like an amateur photographer who was standing at the back of the church shooting the wide shot. So that's the main reason why I didn't. So I just figured, okay, he's got all the wide stuff covered, and then I have the 70-200 to kind of do the real close-ups.
Nice.
Yeah.
The prime lens is nice because you can get, you know, whip it out to 1.4. Then you're battling focus an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends up either way, I mean, if you have the high ISO, then it works out quite well with the 70-200 F4 that you have too.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And I did once again really, really appreciate the high speed sync off camera flash, because we did a lot of outside pictures where they were just kind of walking around, but it was so much sun coming in and so bright that you know, big shadows depending on exactly how their bodies were positioned, and I just had them trying to sort of be natural and literally just walk around the area as I took photos. So I had both my wife and this other camera or photographer both holding off-camera flashes just bare in ETTL high-speed sync, and I was just shooting as they were going. So I kind of got a ballpark idea of where I wanted the exposure to be, and then just let the ETTL do the heavy lifting. And I was super thrilled because we got so many different kinds of photos in what was a very short amount of time, because mm-hmm. I didn't have to directly, you know, do, and I could on the go, I could just adjust, you know, plus or minus flash exposure compensation, because those all can be done from the camera body. So if I didn't like what was happening, I'd just make the little adjustment in the camera body as we went.
That's pretty handy. I mean, and also you don't need to have high speed sync to do what you were doing.
No, you don't need to.
But what you would have ended up doing is get these exact same shots except at F16 instead of F4.
Exactly.
And you have a lot more in focus in the background. So that's where high speed sync comes in handy.
Exactly. And so you'll notice in the photos that I did include, like, those are all flash shot photos in a ton of light, and they're all shot at wider apertures. Like, you notice right. it really with the two of them when they're waving, like how it's really out of focus in the background. That was because mm-hmm. of the ETTL.
There you go.
Yeah. The high speed sync. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of abbreviations or acronyms depending on
which they are. Still early for me over here.
Great. And I shot some more baby photos, of course, but not that many more tonight. The end. End of that story.
Great.
Moving on. Challenge photo from 2 weeks ago. It was your idea. Do you remember what it was?
It was lights.
Yeah. I had to go back and listen because I forgot.
Okay.
And it's funny because I did mention in the show 2 weeks ago that, great, I have 2 weeks to do it, which means 13 days not to.
Right.
Pretty close. Pretty accurate. That's what it's. I shot mine last night.
Okay.
So there you go. So it's exactly. But I'd listen back. And so lights. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Let's do mine first.
Okay.
Okay, great. Now here is, you tell me what this is.
This is the German tradition of lighting the candles on the Christmas tree.
Correct.
Yeah, I like it. I really do. I like that.
I like showing off the fact that we have, because we don't have Christmas lights on our tree. Like, everyone has little LEDs or whatever.
Yeah.
They do it differently here. They do. I suppose you can find lights, but everyone I know has candles on the tree. It's how you do it.
Yeah.
And you're just very careful. But whenever I show people back home, they just can't believe it.
Yeah, no, so. I really like how the candle, like the light that it gives off around the candle, and the fact that it lights their hands. No, I really like this. The only thing that I'm not 100% thrilled with is how some of that light washes out the actual tree. Isn't that a tree in behind it or on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's through. In order to get part of it's the tree, part of it is the wall.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, what's all the orange that kind of overlaps with the green?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this is the issue. This is one of the reasons that you're able to put candles on a Christmas tree here, is that we don't generally have the same kind of trees like that are traditional in Western Canada anyway. I'm sure it's different all over the world, but the ones that we have, you know, I grew up with were very compact trees. Like, there's not much room on them.
Right.
And the branches are very tight together. Now, these ones are very spread out, so the trees are very open.
Oh, I see. So you're seeing through the tree, and then the
orange. I am seeing through.
I see.
Yes. And this was essentially, now I tried to see more tree, but I couldn't get other candles in the background
mm-hmm.
and see into the tree, because you can't put the candles too far into the base of the tree, or they will be under other branches, and then you have a problem.
Right.
And then you'll have what we call too much light.
Right.
And so I had to shoot through this way. So I tried to just put it out of focus and make sure you could see enough of the tree so you knew it was the Christmas tree. And that was it. I made sure I lit the back two. Those are actually two candles out of focus in behind.
Yeah.
And I lit those first, and then I had my wife and daughter light the third one. And yeah, that was it. Shot it with a prime lens because it was very, very, very dark. The only light you're seeing is coming from candlelight. There's no additional light here at all. And that's it.
Nice. I like it.
Quarter black Pro Mist.
What kind of shutter speed for that?
Eighth black Pro Mist. I think it's around 1/100th of a second.
Yeah.
I'm getting it at 1600 ISO, wide open at 1/8 on the 85 millimeter lens.
Okay.
And flipped it in a motor drive. Pre-focused, there was enough, just a barely enough ambient light in the room to pre-focus on the candle before they lit it. Mm-hmm. And just as they were lighting it, I checked focus again, just before they were lighting it, like I could check focus on the first flame. And then just fire off like five shots real quick and pick the one I like the best. That's going to get the best hand illumination. And that's where we went. Now, I tried dialing it down so we could see more of the flame, but then we lose too much of the exposure and too much of the on the hand and too much of the tree. And so ultimately, I decided to let it blow out a little bit.
Right.
So that's it.
Great.
Okay, moving on to yours.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to guess this was at Van Dusen Gardens.
This is, yeah.
Yes.
This is Van Dusen Gardens. I talked about it last year. This is kind of a botanical garden. Well, kind of. It is a botanical garden in Vancouver where they do a huge light display every year for, I want to say, the last 2 weeks of December, and maybe it extends a little bit till New Year's, I think.
I would say huge is an understatement.
Yeah, 1.4 million lights. That's what they advertise is there right now. So it is pretty awesome.
And how often do you think the joke is made where someone will say, you know, and if one burns out, they all go out, and then you can't find it.
Yeah, I don't know if that joke gets made, but thanks for making it.
Yes, no, I didn't make it. I clearly blew it.
But it's almost like Disneyland in there in terms of volume of people. Like, it is amazing how many people they can cram in there. The lineup, even when when it opens, is like down the block. If you buy your tickets online and pay a little bit more for the service charge, it is more than worth your while because you skip the colossal lineup. I think it's an extra $2, but save yourself an hour. So we did that. The best part was Jack was sick. Mm-hmm. So we dragged him down there thinking like, oh, he'll just be a trooper. But then as we're going in, like he's complaining for about an hour of a gigantic earache. So we got inside the doors, and this was Sarah, myself, Lisa, Jack, and then Lisa's sister came along with us too. And so she took her own car, but we got in the doors and Jack was just like beside himself, like grabbing his ears, like, I don't want to go. And so Lisa's visit at Van Dusen Gardens, about 13 seconds.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So then she went home, and Lana, Lisa's sister, and myself and Sarah continued on because Lisa's made the point that, okay, well, you better stay because you're going to take a few photos, and we always like Van Dusen Garden photos, and everybody is going to enjoy it a lot more if Jack is not present. So she just took Jack home, and this was a visit without Jack or Lisa. So hence why the photo is of Sarah. I got one photo of Lisa and Jack as he's kind of crying on her shoulder as she's just about to take him out, because I thought, hey, capture the moment. We talked about this. Capture the moment. We want to have one photo of Jack there, and this year it will be of him crying, and we'll always remember that Jack lasted 13 seconds at Van Dusen Gardens.
Absolutely, and you can rub it in his face.
Yeah. Hey, why do you got to wreck Van Dusen Gardens?
Yeah, what's that about? Christmas was ruined that year.
So,
thanks a lot.
So anyways, I use this photo in particular because I took a very similar photo of Sarah in this spot with the pink lights. I just kind of like this spot because it's the only spot where it's overwhelmingly pink. And I know Sarah is all about pink, so she very much enjoys these lights in particular. So I took these lights very specifically. And also they're standing right in front of a little sort of pool of water, like a little, I don't know what you would call it. Little pool of water. And yeah. I like the
I'm not a scientist, though.
I like the reflection of the pink lights off the pool behind her. And again, only spot where this I could get this combination of lights.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
There you go. And this was shot with a flash, obviously. This wasn't available light.
Nope, this is shot with a flash. And I think just with that mini softbox, like that, you know, the little very mini one on the flash, and I just handed it to my sister-in-law and said, here, hold that.
If you showed up to Van Dusen Gardens with the cue box,
yeah,
you would just be, you'd be kicked out.
I don't think you would be. I think it would be.
I would kick you out.
I think it would be inappropriate, but you can't imagine the camera swag people are bringing in there. Like, everybody's got their full-frame cameras with gigantic tripods that they're parking around. They do this kind of light show to music every half hour. They have sort of sequenced lights to music, and everybody seems to want to, you know, shoot the either video of it on their tripod, or I guess maybe people are taking a lot of long exposure shots with their tripod.
Yeah,
because it's on the water, and you probably get some very cool shots in long exposure. I didn't do any of that.
But the sheer number of people, like you said, jammed into that place, I can't believe they allow tripods, because it's pretty tight.
Yeah, and I imagine they're one lawsuit away from not allowing tripods.
Yeah, I that's not even where I would hope would come to that. It's just, to me, it's more about convenience for everybody, because they do get in the way. We were there with you last year, and I noticed an awful lot of that, of just, wow, we kind of want to get by here, and here's a guy, you know, full tripod and the giant 70-200 f/2.8 and this setup. But
was it last year? No, it was 2 years ago you were there with us.
Wasn't it
2 years ago?
Sure. Probably no. 2 years ago.
I'm just trying to think of the time warp that I think that was like a full 2 years ago.
Could it have been? I don't think it could have been.
No?
No, it must have been. No. Yes. Yes, I don't know.
Sorry to bring it to a screeching halt here.
Hey, tell you what, we're just going to take five and go down memory lane, okay?
So there you go. I noticed that you included an alternative crop to this. Oh, I should remind everyone, because this is one of my favorite photo tips that I gave her all of last year. She's wearing the glowing wish necklace.
Yes.
Because this photo is lit by flash, and again, I do have the autofocus assist beam that gets fired off of the Yang Nuo triggers that is amazing, so I wouldn't have needed the little wish thing to get this in focus, but this is shot at a pretty wide open aperture. I can't remember. I'm going to say f2.8.
I'm going to say f2.2 only because I looked.
Oh, okay. So, but that glowing necklace is fantastic for getting focus. And I'm just mentioning it now because New Year's is coming up, so I'm sure a lot of people are going to be outside with their kids and, you know, in crowded areas where it's going to be very dark. Maybe you're going to watch fireworks or something. And having a little glow-in-the-dark charm around their neck, like you can buy from the dollar store, is very handy for getting focus if you don't have a great autofocus assist.
My daughter got a pair in her advent calendar this year.
A pair of?
Those. The one that hers clips on her jacket, though.
Yeah.
The little LEDs from Mountain Equipment Co-op. I just saw them and loved them. I remember you liked them so much, and I thought, this is the greatest.
Oh, you never miss focus on it. It's fantastic.
Plus, hers sort of makes her look like Iron Man, so it's cool.
Perfect. But I did notice that you included another crop that you must have liked better. I looked at it and I disagree, but you can tell us why you like it more. And
more than just the crop, your photo, I think, is a good start. I think it's a great photo. And I especially think it's great because you did buy you got the hardware for Christmas, didn't you? The monitor?
Oh, the calibration, yeah. The
monitor calibration that you got. You got it ahead of Christmas, though, right?
I did.
And so you did use that for this photo, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Not you didn't use it for this photo, but you processed this photo after having used it on your monitor, and I can tell because your skin tones they're fantastic. I mean, they look really great. The not just the colors, but the tones, where it's placed. This looks proper, and some of the other stuff that you've been putting out, no fault of yours, has just been kind of overexposed or hot or whatever it was. This looks fantastic. Great balance. I like the whole. Did you gel the flash?
No.
Didn't have to. Great.
No.
And so this looks really great. Now, one was the crop. I thought a tighter crop would work better.
Okay.
A square crop, because there's a lot going on above that, you know, I don't need to see that empty space up there myself. And maybe this is nitpicking, but here we go. This will be the nitpicking show.
Okay.
So I like the crop better. I also did an unsharp mask because her eyes were just a tiny bit. They weren't sparkling like they should.
Okay.
And I ran an unsharp mask on it. So you tell me if you like that better or not.
I do like the unsharp mask. I just don't. Yes. I don't like the crop better.
What's because why? I'll bet you if you were to revisit this photo in 2 years, you might like the crop better.
Maybe. I like the reflection on the water. I'm okay with cropping the top out if you went to maybe a 5x7 and just got rid of that little bit of sky in the top. But I like the hands, and I like the reflection of the trees in the water. So I don't like losing that.
Which I'm saying is more of a function of the fact that you were there and you like the experience of being there. And if it's gone, I think the photo is better in a vacuum, tighter.
Okay.
But I've been in the exact situation you're in where you're like, well, that existed, that was there, I like that, I'm gonna remind myself, so I'm gonna leave it in. Now, artistically, I could be way off. And so we're gonna post both of them, and hey, if anyone wants to post and let me know if I'm wrong, please do. I can take it. Big boy. Got my big boy pants on.
All right.
So fire away. But anyways, I like the square crop better. And, you know, I'm kind of a champion, so.
Okay.
There's that.
All right.
Okay, this week's topic. It's that time for New Year's resolutions, photography-wise, Adam.
Right.
Because everything else I got dialed in.
Okay.
As far as I don't have it dialed in. Who does?
I don't know.
No, nobody does. I forget last year's.
I don't remember ever. I thought you were going to maybe dig them up and then you'd remind me.
That seems like effort.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's moving on. Maybe let's just give the same ones as last year.
I think we might inadvertently.
Yeah.
Let's just assume I did all mine. And maybe my resolution was to do one more year of shows without missing a week. And therefore, boom, done it. Did it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite resolutions. It's not even mine. This is one of fellow podcaster Adam Carolla.
Mm-hmm.
See how I said fellow? As if we're on the same level.
Yeah, yeah. We're like buddies at a party.
Yeah, we both at the we both have a podcast. but his resolution is for everybody else to get their act together.
Oh, nice.
I like that one.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good. You sort yourself out, and we'll call it a day. So this year, I have a few I made some notes of, and I've already started mine at Christmas. Take fewer photos. That's my first resolution. Take fewer photos.
Okay.
And that seems counterintuitive for a photo show, but it's not even just take fewer on the day. But take few. I don't have to bring my camera to every event.
Right.
And so I'm going to dial it back a little bit.
I think I had this one last year. I don't think you did, but I think I did. And I think I've successfully accomplished that.
How am I going to deal with the look of disappointment on people's faces when they realize that I didn't bring my camera? Like other people that come to parties and they don't bring their cameras anymore because, Al's coming. Yeah. Why would I bother?
I think, because again, I noticed that occasionally because I brought my camera far fewer occasions this year. And I think some people just, you know, you didn't bring your camera this time. And I just like, don't we have enough photos? Can't you pull out your iPhone is usually the comment that I go with. So I think the bottom line is that, you know, maybe for about 2.5 seconds, people are disappointed. Then they just move on.
Right. And their disappointment doesn't really affect me because I don't have feelings.
Yeah. So you're fine. Yeah.
So I'm good.
Yeah. I don't think people are really that disappointed. Like, that's the thing. And maybe here is where the iPhones have clouded everyone's judgment. You know, people often, I think this is my interpretation, but unless they're getting fantastic photos all the time, a lot of people are less snobby than we are when it comes to the quality of their photos and are just happy capturing moments.
Less snobby or just appreciate crap?
Combination.
I guess it is true. I have noticed that the benchmark for certain things has been lowered. And thus, it's like, all right, well, you know, if it's below your standards, then lower your standards, man. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the thing with movies I've noticed, or with digital cinema, and that it's kind of been, well, digital cinema is good. It's not as good as film. It really isn't. But for the most part, it's good enough, and that's what. And after in 10 years, no one will even know what to, you know, film looks like. They won't compare it to anything.
Right.
You know, it's just going to be, all right, well, this is how things look now, and this is good enough. And
well, and a good example for me is looking at Facebook. I mean, you don't have to look for more than 2 seconds to see just a horrific picture taken on someone's phone that's completely blurry. But because it's of a kid or a baby, or maybe a single male or female adult, everyone's like, oh, gorgeous, absolutely breathtaking photo. And I'm looking at it going, no, it's not. No, it's horrible. It's awful. But that's the photo snobbery that comes into it. And I think, again, just, you know, sometimes the standards that we're setting are maybe too high. Like, I don't know.
See, I fall somewhere in the middle with those, because I do agree that they aren't awesome photos. I do appreciate the moment. But the part that really bugs me is the over the top. Oh, my God. Hey, Ansel Adams, I got to hire you to take my next photo. Like, no. Okay, you know what works? Hey, nice photo.
But are you just saying it, or do you really mean it? That's where it's hard to know.
Like when you are all hyperbolic?
Yeah.
No, that's over the top. That's overcompensating. It means you don't mean it.
Yeah.
If I just say, hey, nice photo, or I even click like or whatever, which I don't often do.
No, I do. I do that never.
I started doing it just to counter the photo snobbery that I've been doing, because I don't know. I'm still only a year into Facebook, so relatively new, and don't really know how it all the etiquette works.
Yeah. Well, you've never been one strong on etiquette to begin with, so
not concerned myself with it. And and so, remind me to tell you I won't tell you that story. That's off air. But, every once in a while I do click a like just to say, hey man, this is I feel it's a two-way street. I'm participating.
Okay. And, maybe I should do that. Cause you know,
every once in a while, I think people appreciate it.
All right. I'm going to start making some over the top comments.
No. Don't do that. That's very transparent.
I have to say though, there have been a few listeners who have commented on photos that I've taken, and then I've clicked on their photos, like I guess just click on their name and then gone through and looked at a few of their photos, and if I actually am,
and then I Google their address and find out their work schedule.
I'm just saying if I really appreciated like a comment, or they've taken a time, I've kind of done that where I've gone through and looked at their photos, and I mean, if I like them, then I'll actually write a comment, and I've done that on a number of occasions, only because I've been super impressed by the quality of some of the photos of some of our listeners, because I don't really check the Flickr. I don't know if people really do the Flickr thing, and some people post photos on our Facebook account, but again, it's only a couple of people. Mm-hmm. So often I'll do that, or not often, but occasionally I'll do that, and then I've been super impressed with some of the photographers out there that actually listen to us.
It sounds self-serving, and maybe that's what we want to believe. But I've done the same. I've clicked through a few of them, and I have yet to be disappointed.
Yeah, and usually I take credit for it. Like, I take credit for whatever other people are good at.
Of course, without you,
they would have never done that.
No, they would throw their camera in the garbage. Why, this thing is broken. I know how that goes. Yeah. No, your ego is just fine, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay, so this year's resolution for you, first one. Is it ego? Make sure it's ego.
No, I think my first one, to me, when I'm looking at mine, I'm pretty sure some of these are the same as last year, so that goes to show that I didn't succeed. But one of them was shoot more video, and I really dropped the ball on that last year. Like, I really want to do more video. I shoot the kids' kind of little assembly concert things, or if there's a little play or something like that, I tend to shoot that because I go in thinking, oh, hey, this is something to take video of. But spontaneous video, I just, it never even occurs to me.
It's a difficult thing to do. I'm very, very familiar with shooting video with my camera, very familiar shooting stills with my camera. Flipping back and forth is not easy to do.
So you got to kind of go with one.
I find that's how I operate. Like I can do both, and I can do both reasonably well. I can't do both excellent.
Right.
Because it's a different mindset. It's just a different, just the my methods, my techniques are different enough that it gets in the way. So you kind of have to go in thinking, all right, I'm going to shoot video today and don't worry about photos.
Right.
So that's my recommendation to you to keep this. I think you should shoot more.
The kids love it. My kids just love the video that I do and the ones I've done in the past. They watch over and over and over. So that's what makes me think that, you know, for their sake, because again, it's not just about memories that I have. It's also hopefully going to be about some memories they have. They really do enjoy the photos, but there is like, it's a 50-to-1 ratio.
It is a situation that I, for the most part, like when our daughter was born a couple years ago, I shot a lot of video, and I'm shooting some now of the new kid, but I shot a lot of video and didn't really watch a whole lot of it at the time. And I didn't shoot that long of shots, like just little clips here and there. We watch them now and it blows our mind. Just in because, you know, she's so much bigger and holy cow, is she that small? And now we're comparing it. So it is one of those things where I think time will help out too.
Yeah.
So definitely shoot some. My challenge to you then in regard to this, not nothing to do with the show, just in general, is by Jan 31, I would like you to have performed a successful rack focus.
I don't even know what that is.
We'll sort you out, buddy.
Okay.
We'll get you a nice rack focus and it'll look like you'll post it. It'll look like $1 million and you'll be off to the races.
Okay.
So there you go. Part of my first resolution I forgot to mention is that while I'm going to take fewer photos, I'm going to try to get more prints made. I like getting prints made.
Great.
So there's that. So tie that one back in.
I do that, so I don't need that one.
You are good. You get a lot of prints made. Yeah. My next one, okay, I'm going to shoot more JPEGs.
Okay.
I want to go. Remember we talked earlier in the year, I think, maybe it was last year, that sort of the arc of a photographer is you start out shooting JPEGs because you don't know, and then you get into RAW and you go crazy. And then I think some of the really good shooters, I think David Hobby shoots JPEG. I think that other guy, Joe McNally, shoots JPEG because they've gotten so good that they can get it right without messing around, and they shoot JPEG and move on.
And here's something that I actually had this thought yesterday, but for my camera, and again, a lot of them have adapters now that you can do this, where you can have the Wi-Fi capabilities. So if I'm shooting in JPEG, I can actually just like wirelessly export those photos to my wife's phone or to an iPad. So there's a scenario yesterday where I went and shot some photos of my nephew playing hockey. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were sitting there with their iPhones and I just thought, oh man, if I wanted to, I could just literally send them 10 photos right off of my camera. They could basically put the app on their phone and then they could have those photos instantly instead of me going home, editing them and then sending them to them. It could just all be done right there in literally no time. But of course I had this thought and then it was like, I'm just going to shoot the photos in RAW. and do all the editing
and that stuff. But I also think that, you know, like this is it's not just because of the convenience factor, but I think I've gotten into the mindset, not laziness, but knowing full well that, okay, I can fix this later. If I miss white balance, I can fix white balance or, you know, small things. Whereas if you pay more attention to in camera, your photos are just going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss. And part of that is going to be, what I might end up doing is because I have three DSLRs that I use regularly. I have three of them and I use all of them regularly. Just for different things, you know, the 5D, the 5D Mark II, and the 40D. And I think I might just set maybe the 40D to JPEG and say that's going to be JPEG for now. And so whenever I go out and shoot with that camera, going to shoot JPEG, and probably a lot, mostly black and white JPEGs.
And then you don't have to worry about white balance.
You still do. White balance still affects the tones, so...
But to the, to a lesser degree.
To a lesser... Yes, it's true. It's true. But I am going to do that. So I'm going to dial it all in. And that means picture styles. I'm going to dial in not just the black and white, but the contrast and the sharpness, and have it all dialed in there. And see, this might last a week. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But this is what something I want to do, is just to focus on that part of it and getting it right in the camera.
Okay.
Any more for you? Or are you perfect? Any more resolutions?
Any more solutions? I think this also might have been one last year, but I can't remember. this was fiddle less. I spent too much time trying to make a good photo great. Like, if I see a photo, I'm like, oh, it's good, but I really want this to be perfect. I can Photoshop and blah blah blah, and I need to just stop doing that.
So you're talking about post-production fiddling.
Post-production fiddling. Yeah, not
oh, okay.
No, yeah, just I need to stop doing that. I don't do it a ton. I think last year I did it a lot more, but still, you know, there's some photos that I just decide I'm going to turn this into something that it's not.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to not do that this year.
So no more polishing a turd.
Okay. Sure.
Well,
it's not okay. Even that. No, it's just if I don't do it on a crappy photo, I only do it on good photos. But I think everybody can always nitpick their own work and decide that, oh, okay, I could do this, or I could, you know, airbrush a little here or there to make it just something that it isn't. And I need to stop doing that.
I agree. I've gotten to that point now where I don't do that, where I'm very, very particular about what I do in Photoshop. And that's generally in Photoshop, it's almost nothing. I like the sharpening better in Photoshop than I do Aperture. I'm not a fan of the sharpening in Aperture. Mm-hmm. And also in terms of the cloning, like the airbrushing something out, not good, not great in Aperture. Sometimes it does okay.
I don't even try it in Aperture.
It doesn't. And because pretty much the only time I ever do it is if I'm going to I'm going to use my wall to make a white background. And what I do is I take all the pictures frames off the wall, but I don't take the nails off the wall. So yeah. They tend to show up in the picture.
Yes, I do this also. Yeah.
So I clone those out. And that's the extent of my Photoshopping. Other than that, just cropping. And that's right in Aperture. So... good one, good resolution. It ties into mine a little bit. My next one is more so fiddling in camera, but I want to shoot faster and shoot more snapshots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we just finished an album for my daughter, her second year. It was supposed to be for her second birthday, but I had stuff to do, so she got it for Christmas. And but just finished it and got it down to like 250 photos for the year, like, which is an absurd number. And for the most part, and nothing to do with myself, I imagine most of our listeners have the same experience because of maybe they have a prime lens or whatever it is. The pictures looks like a magazine, okay. except for my daughter doesn't look anorexic. Would have been funny if I spat that out without stuttering.
It would have been better.
Yeah. But no, you know, I don't Photoshop her into looking super thin. But other than that, like, these are, like, I've seen your photos. It's the same thing. They look really good. And consequently, you don't have any crappy pictures of good moments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go out and try to make them crappy. But I'm going to not worry about it. Yes. I'm just going to, you know what? And one of my favorite photos in the last couple of years, even, and probably because it was just a special moment for me, was me and my daughter at the Christmas market enjoying some Kinder Punch. And that was just one shot only with a little point and shoot, 7-megapixel point and shoot camera. It's 8 years old. And that was it. The flash right in my face. But it's a snapshot and I love it.
Right.
So I want to do that more. Shoot faster, more snapshots, and don't fiddle too much in camera. Get it once and put the camera away.
Great.
So, and that means don't look at the LCD. Just take your photo and trust that you got it.
Yes.
So there you go. Next.
I only had one more, and it was very similar to what you just said, so we don't really have to say it again, but the only slight twist to it was about shoot more spontaneously and don't shoehorn in what you want it to be rather than just take what's happening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I agree.
We've talked about that. I don't think we have to go into any real depth.
Well, we're gonna. Okay.
All right.
My next and last resolution is I want to teach somebody, not on the show, of course, but somebody that I know how to shoot manual and use back button focus.
Great.
I don't know who that is. I don't have anybody in mind.
I tried to teach my wife that.
She does.
She's got the back button, but she's stuck on AV mode.
My wife is so dialed in with the back button focus that she can't. She doesn't know why people can't grasp it.
I know.
Because I have a few people like have picked up my camera and they just can't. Like I think I sent you a picture that my father-in-law took in the hospital, and it was just like okay, might as well have left the lens cap on.
You know what's interesting is on the Canon 6D. I don't think I've ever mentioned this. It actually has a dedicated autofocus button that is back button.
The default
comes with the camera. Like you can turn off the shutter button as a focus, but both come enabled as autofocus. It actually says AF on right on the back of the camera.
Pretty sure mine does. Pretty sure that's into some of the 40D as well. Same.
Yeah, so it doesn't have another function.
Oh, okay. This one, I'm not sure if this one does have another. I believe this one is always autofocus lock or whatever, or on or lock or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you have to go and disable it in the actual shutter.
Right. Right.
Trigger button.
Right.
You still have to go and do that. Yeah. And so, yeah. But my wife loves it. She's like, she can't imagine shooting with it all tied together. She's like, why would you want to do that? And so consequently, but she's also like your wife. She's in AV mode. She's there. Mm-hmm. And even so, I had to basically put a piece of duct tape on the top of the camera that she uses the most, with a cheat sheet for what ISOs to set for where.
Oh, okay.
Like she knows what aperture to set for the most part. Like just leave it at 4 or 5.6, and if you just then adjust ISO for the most part, she's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Inside, outside, cloudy, that's all you need to know, and boom, dial that in. But I want to teach someone how to really shoot in manual and use back button focus. I think that'll just be good, and maybe I'll get in more pictures that way.
Great.
So there you go. And the last one was keep my batteries charged more. I ran into a couple situations where my batteries are a little bit low, but they were charged when the kid came, so that was the important part.
All right,
so that's it. Challenge for next week, Adam. I was hoping you had one.
No, don't have one.
Really?
Don't have one.
Okay. It's new. That's it. New.
Great.
That's terrible.
You're going to shoot your kid.
No, that I meant because the new year, it's the beginning of a new, 2014. And so I thought new would be good. But now I'm listening to it. It's terrible.
How about New Year's?
We did that last year.
But it's New Year's. It's like Christmas. It happens every year.
You know what? You're right about me being in Canada 2 years ago for your Festival of Lights, because we shot New Year's 2 years ago as well. And then I think this year too. So New Year's. Okay, fine. Mine's going to be fireworks again.
Great.
Homemade fireworks. Or home launched.
Awesome.
So there you go. New Year's. Amazon. Buy something on Amazon, buy it through our site. People have been doing it. People have been telling us about it, and we thank you very much. Websites. Adam, where can people find all your photos?
I've been kind of lackluster with posting stuff. I think my wife's rubbing off on me, so I'm gonna re-up for the new year and post more stuff. Two Hosers Facebook site, mm-hmm. and my wife has actually been blogging again, so schwartzchronicles.com.
Yep, that's what... Oh, great. I don't know. I had a blogging joke in there.
Oh, I was going to ask him, what about your stuff?
I post all my blogging jokes over at alanattridge.com.
Right.
It's hilarious. Yeah. And then the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know. All the links. Someone asked the other day if we could post actual links to the Amazon site, because if you click on the banner, some people have like ad blockers or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and they can't actually see them. I'm trying. I don't think Amazon wants me to post direct links. I think they only want the banners.
Ah.
So I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm not smart enough for this.
Okay.
Which must make you feel really inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So I'm going to get on that. I'll see what I can do. But if you click through there, that's on Two Hosers. That's where you can find all our stuff. So that's it. Until next week, get out there and... Oh, wait. Happy New Year, Adam.
Happy New Year, Alan.
And to our listeners as well, have a good New Year.
Yes.
2013 was good. Let's make 2014 better. That's just personal. I thought 2013 was good for everybody, I'm assuming.
Right.
You thought we were out.
You're trying to drag this out.
You thought we were out of the show.
I was really hoping.
Hey, everyone, have a good New Year's. Be safe. And until next week, get out there and make better photos.